This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
And good morning, golfers across the country. Bob Weeks in studio. Mark Sacchino down at East Lake. And this is Golf Talk Canada for our first fall edition. Although, Mark, I know you're not here, but it feels a lot like middle of July right now here in Toronto.
Bob, it makes no sense at all. We wait all year for summer. It never arrives. And when it comes, I leave.
Well, when it comes, it's when it comes, it's fall. Today's the first full day of fall, and we got summer. There's actually, I know we're being listened to right across the country at different parts, but in this, well, really eastern Canada part, it's crazy. There's actually a heat warning today in Toronto. The Humidex is going to get up into the 40s. So if you are going to go out and golf, take lots of water, put the sunscreen, get the shorts, and be prepared for it's like a three underwear day today. You're going to have to change it three times today. I don't know what it's like down there, but good morning to you at East Lake. And what is the weather forecast down there today? It looked pretty good yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it's smoking hot. It's just so little chance of rain that, you know, the only thing you might get at least that when it's this hot is you get the pop-up storm. Mm. We've dodged them all so far. We had 0.1 inch of rain on Thursday night. That's really the only moisture we've seen. Yet somehow, there's really not a lot of bounce in the golf course. It's very green. It's very lush. Obviously, with all the hurricane traffic over the last month, by the time it gets to Atlanta, it really turns more into a tropical storm. So they haven't had any damage or any, danger issues of any kind, knock on wood, but they've had a lot of rain coming into the Tour Championship. So I think regardless of how dry it stays and how hot it gets, I don't think we're going to see, you know, the real hard bounce or anything turning brown anytime soon. So they're perfect conditions. This golf course is bizarre, Bob. You know, I've never been here before. And it looks, first of all, it's a beautiful-looking property and obviously has tons of history going back to Bobby Jones and all the history with Jones learning golf here, his first hole-in-one, completing the career Grand Slam, just living behind the second hole. So, you know, there is all of that. But at first glance, it does not look like an intimidating golf course. It doesn't look like a golf course where, you know, through 36 holes, 7-under par is going to be leading yet. It is almost impossible to, you know, run away and hide, unlike what we saw last week at the BMW Championship, where every year at the BMW, regardless of what golf course they play on, somebody wins by 3, 4, 5, 6. East Lake, it's the complete opposite. So, you know, tied at the top at 7, I wouldn't be surprised if we were down to, like, one shot Sunday night or another playoff again.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the story for this golf course over the years. It's, as you said, looks pretty timid, but has some teeth in it. We're going to talk a lot about the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup coming up in our show today. We also have a little interview that you did with Jared Dutoit, the young Canadian who finished as the top. Well, he won the Canadian Player of the Year award on the Mackenzie Tour. And we're going to talk to Todd Kierstedt, our buddy, a friend of the show, who is very involved in the Invictus Games that are starting here in Toronto. Golf is going to be part of the program. They're going to play at St. George's, of all places. Wow, what a great treat for that. And that's a really tremendous story that we're going to hear a bit about that later on as we go through our show today. And, you know, I got to tell you, this has been a crazy week. I have had all types of weather today, this week, because I was out in Whistler playing with some clients, and it was 8 degrees and raining. And I played on Thursday at Chateau Montebello just across the river in the Gatineau in Quebec, and it was 36 and sunny. And today, again, as we said, it's going to be hot no matter if you are kind of east of Winnipeg. It looks like you're going to be smoking hot, and we're going to deal with that weather a little bit later as well. I'm going to give you a beautiful forecast in our Winners Weird and What. But let's start off with some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
I'd like to be in PEI right now. I don't know about you, but listen, here's some interesting news came out this week where the PGA Tour is talking about the fact that they may look at tinkering the format of the FedEx Cup and specifically the finale. And one of the possibilities being floated, Mark, is that they would take the Tour Championship and have that event, and that would finish on Sunday, and then they would take a select number of people from that 30 and put them into a final 18-hole shootout on the Monday for the $10 million bonus of the FedEx Cup. And I can see how this could make sense because in some ways, the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup finale are kind of one event, and they don't really seem to have a little bit of separation. And if you really wanted to create some drama for that $10 million, I could see how you could put it on the line for a Monday finish. What do you think?
I see where they're going with it, Bob. I guess the problem I have with it is that, you know, do they reset again? And it's an 18-hole shootout, so you're going to go with what number of guys? 8 guys, 10 guys, 12 guys on the Monday? You're going to reset them all to zero again, and now everybody has the same equal chance, and you've put $10 million in an entire season down to one round of golf? I don't know. That just feels weird to me. I know Jordan Spieth's comments earlier this week, I don't know if you heard them, because on Thursday they paired the players from where they started in the FedEx Cup rankings. So Spieth and Justin Thomas went out in the final group on Thursday, and he felt weird about it. He says, it feels like I'm starting in the lead, something that you would get on a Saturday or a Sunday on the PGA Tour, not on a Thursday. And I know Spieth, you know, mentioned he felt that, that he was uncomfortable with that. I always like the idea of 36 holes of stroke play at the Tour Championship to get it down to the top 8 guys for the weekend, and then those 8 go into a match play format where we end up with one guy versus one guy on Sunday in a 18-hole match play final for $10 million. I always thought that was a great concept. I know what you're saying. I know where they're going with this. The Monday, hey, I guess if we're talking 2019, though, and the Tour's thinking that way, that Monday that they're referring to is going to be Labor Day, 4 days before the NFL season starts. So you're going to have a holiday Monday and probably be able to dominate the airwaves with the really only sports that matter on that Labor Day, unless you're playing baseball in a city that has a chance. And we know how few of them there are come that time of year. So from that standpoint, maybe it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the best thing they can try and do is to try and find some way, some drama, some way to put either one or two players or whatever it is, but to try and make this shootout for the $10 million, you know, have some drama to the end. And we've had drama the way it is right now. We've had lots of good finales down the stretch in the format right now. And some of the players are saying, hey, it's not broken. Why, you know, why do we have to change it? Let's keep it the way it is. And another change to it might also, I like the Monday finish. As you say, it's Labor Day. The only thing that might be a little even more confusing, because people still don't really figure out how the points are all awarded or how people get to where they are. Although they do a good job with the projected stuff that they put on. Tiger Woods gave us an update, and it's not exactly a short one this week. He revealed a whole bunch of stuff in his latest post on his website, including the fact that he is getting back into action. He's chipping and putting a little bit. There's been some chip-offs with Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas. He's thanking everybody. He's congratulating a whole bunch of people. I mean, it's a really in-depth report. If you haven't seen it, it's at tigerwoods.com. But he said he's hitting 60-yard shots. He has not taken a full swing since he had the back fusion surgery last April. What did you make out of this, Mark?
Well, the one thing I get out of it, Bob, is there's no bloody way in hell we're seeing him at the Hero World Challenge. So yeah. That we can take that off the table.
Not as a player, anyway.
Not as a player, yes. Thank you. Not as a competing player, for sure. And as far as I'm concerned, what I get from this is, you know, there's a good chance we don't see him still for a very long time. And there was after that report came out, Bob, there was a lot of rumblings down here from people that have formerly been very close to Tiger Woods that have come out and said, not on the record, but they believe that he'll never play competitive golf again. And I'm talking people that were very close to him at times. So I don't know what to believe here. He doesn't seem to be in a negative space, and I think that's I take that positive from this. I don't know how you took the tone of the report, but the tone of the report for me felt much more upbeat compared to the news that has been spilling out over the last 6 months, 7 months, and more recently with the DUI and those issues. But this, you know, considering everything that's happened, it sounds like he's really excited to be a part of the President's Cup next week. Sounded upbeat. Now, how much of this is scripted? How much of this is from his PR team? I don't know. I'm trying to take a cup half full approach, but that's what I got.
Yeah, I think this is kind of maybe a little bit of a way where he's trying to fend off what might happen next week, where he doesn't have to answer quite as many questions when he gets into the public eye at the President's Cup as an assistant captain. I mean, he's thanking, congratulating Billy Payne and Julie Inkster and the U.S. Solheim Cup team and the Walker Cup team and Rafael Nadal, and I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's quite the performance and quite the letter. But I agree with you. I think there's more question marks now about whether he'll ever get back to form or onto the golf course in any kind of way, shape, or form that would make him be competitive. A guy who is competitive, though, is a guy we're going to hear from next when we come back after the break. Jared Dutoit, a hot rising star amongst Canadian golfers, and we'll hear from him after this break.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. First edition in the fall session here. We are officially in fall, and it's going to be smoking hot like the middle of summer, at least in the eastern part of the country here. We're looking at heat warnings, Humidex into the 40s. So be careful out there if you are going out to play. Mark, earlier you had a little chance to chat with Jared Dutoit. Wonderful young man, wonderful young player, and had a great season on the Mackenzie Tour, his first as a professional after that great amateur career where he highlighted, I guess, by his great finish at the RBC Canadian Open a couple of years ago. This is a guy who, to me, looks like he has just got all the tools and a lot of confidence.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that struck me, Bob, is what you just said there about the Canadian Open. But that does not feel that long ago. What is that? To be precise, I think it's 14 months ago, to be exact. So that's a lot that's happened in 14 months. Well, obviously, his path to this point is much longer than 14 months. But I just mean from, you know, competing as an amateur at the RBC Canadian Open down to the wire really on Sunday, and then bang, you know, turns professional, immediately starts to find some success on the Mackenzie Tour. And I'm with you. I think he's the real deal. I know we've had a lot of prospects. We have a lot of prospects. We got a couple of great ones right now playing extremely well on the web.com tour that look like they're going to be making their way to the PGA Tour possibly next year as well. So Canadian golf in a good spot, but I think Jared Dutoit is certainly going to be a real part of that in the next. If he's not on the PGA Tour in the next 5 years, I'd be absolutely shocked.
All right, well, let's hear from the man himself, Jared Dutoit.
Well, obviously, you finished your first year, you know, with so much success this year. You made every cut where you played in the tournament. You finished as Freedom 55 Financial Canadian Player of the Year. What does it mean to start your professional career this year the way you did?
Yeah, no, it means a lot to me. You know, certainly, you know, hit the ground running, you know, when I turned pro. So definitely pretty proud about that. And, you know, there's still plenty of room for improvement, so excited about that as well.
Since you turned pro, you know, you finish your season with Arizona State and you come right up to Victoria and play in your first pro event. Just tell me what that whirlwind experience has been like for you, you know, this whole summer.
It has been a whirlwind. That's a great summary. I mean, I might have spent 5-6 days at home, it seems like. You know, a lot of hotel, a lot of golf, and but a lot of fun as well. So you know, it's been good, and you know, I definitely took the right steps in learning how to be a pro, and you know, hopefully I can kind of continue.
You know, on the course, the level of competition is obviously very high out here. What have you kind of learned about your game competing against these guys week in and week out?
Yeah, I mean, I learned that my good golf is you know, right there as well. You know, my good golf can win out here. You know, for me, it's all about just you know, putting four rounds together and, you know, staying consistent throughout the week. So, like I said, something to work on for sure. But, you know, definitely very optimistic about where everything's at.
You know, as you make your journey towards the PGA Tour, obviously we're going to, you know, be seeing you off and doing bigger and better things than just playing here on the McKenzie Tour. But what do you think you'll take away from your time here and what you've learned as a player and as a person this year?
Yeah, definitely, like I said, you know, you kind of learn how to be a pro up here. I think, you know, set your own schedule. You know, you learn what you like, what your body, how to prepare. So, you know, that was big for me. And, you know, I definitely got to thank the McKenzie Tour for that. And, you know, another thing, it's funny, it probably doesn't get mentioned, is like the pro-ams and learn how to play those and not wearing yourself out. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, very thankful for the McKenzie Tour and, you know, all the staff for everything.
Some of the on-course highlights this year, you shot 61 twice, you're in contention a bunch of times. Just tell me about what that does for you as an explorer. As a player to have those experiences.
Very cool. You know, a great teacher of mine always kind of said, you know, playing well gives you the privilege of having pressure. So, you know, me feeling that pressure a lot this year was good. And, you know, I feel like I have a leg up on a lot of guys that didn't experience that pressure. So, you know, very, you know, definitely, like I said, a lot of positives this year. And, you know, we'll see.
And what's next for you as a player? Are you off to Web.com Tour Q School, or what's the plan?
Yeah, so I actually go to Arizona in about a week, and then it's back to it. So first stage of qualifying in Arizona, and you know, hopefully second stage soon after that.
And there is Jared Dutoit and Mark Sacchino sounding an awful lot like the McKenzie Tour's media director. Brian Decker, sorry about that. I got a little misinformation here that I thought was going on. So just to update that. So right now, for the Web.com Tour Finals, there's a pre-qualifying, a first stage, a second stage, and then the final stage. And if you are on the Canadian Tour, you get through to the first stage. If you're in the top 20, you get through you get a pass to the second stage. Dutoit finished 23rd, so he is in the first stage of qualifying. But Mark, as you were mentioning before, It's quite a great crop of young players. We've got Ben Silverman, who's already made it through and will be on the PGA Tour next year in some way, shape, or form. We've got Adam Svensson, who, I mean, he's about 99% sure of getting a PGA Tour card for next year through the Web.com playoffs. I mean, it's wide and deep now in terms of quality out there for young players coming up through Canada.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and there, you know, we still have opportunities still with Roger Sloan, and I think then Corey Connors. Or, like, there's opportunities there, and they're coming, and it's great, and we're already strengthened numbers. You know, Mackenzie Hughes missed the Tour Championship by, you know, barely needed to move up one spot in that final week, and, you know, Bob, I haven't had to talk to you because we've been living on the road in different directions the last 2 weeks, but. You know, he played so well at the BMW Championship and just kind of lost track on Sunday and went in the wrong direction, but came so close to joining Adam Hadwin here. So, you know, man, there's so many good things. It seems to be the same thing. The difference this time I find is that they're always part of the leaderboard. They're always making cuts. They're always playing well and consistent. The next step would be to have more winners, to have, you know, I know Mac won this year and Hadwin won this year, so we had two wins. That would be great. It would be great to get back, you know, where one of those guys could win multiple times in a year. I think Nick Taylor is due a victory. You know, we've got, so, you know, obviously Graham, depending on his health, and David, I know, is still fighting. So there's a lot of guys out there, and of course our friend Fritchie, if they could ever figure out how to get these guys starts when they qualify.
That's the issue.
You know, We could do a whole show on that. You know,
yeah.
Hey, congratulations, you got your PGA Tour card. Guess what? You're not allowed to play. Like, how are you supposed to keep your card if you can't access golf tournaments?
Yeah, I think Brad Fritch played six tournaments in the first 6 months of the year on the PGA Tour or something close to that. So you're right, it is very tough for those guys. Very, very
well,
tough.
You know, when we go back and we do our year in reviews and things of that nature starting in October and February, depending if we're talking about TV or radio, I think one of my biggest highlights of the year is Mackenzie Hughes winning, not just because he's a Canadian winning in his rookie season, but the fact that, you know, he did it early, he did it in the wraparound schedule, it changed his entire life. Because yeah. He could have been right in that Brad Fritch boat, and instead, He's got a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour. He's playing majors and picking his schedule.
Yeah, it's such a huge difference when you win. It's all everything can be better if you win. All right, coming up after the break, we are going to talk the Tour Championship. Mark is down there. He's going to give us an update on what's going on. We'll talk about the leaders. It's an interesting leaderboard down there so far. We've got some big names, but also some guys you weren't thinking might be there, even though there are 30 of the best on the PGA Tour. Tour Championship coming up right after this break.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Beautiful summer fall day out there. And we are in studio. Mark Zucchino is in Eastlake in Atlanta for the Tour Championship, where he's going to be doing some work for PGA Tour Sirius XM Radio. I was tootling around town yesterday, Mark, and I caught you on the air, and very, very impressed with your enthusiasm on the air out there.
Well, as you know, Bob, I'm easily excitable.
Yes, you are. That's true. Yeah, I think you were actually just, they were handing out packages of teas and scorecards, and you were very excited about that. No, you do a great job out there, and I'm sure you'll be back out there today. You got any indication as to who you'll be walking with today?
Yeah, I'm going to go out early with Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson. So that will be my early assignment, and then we'll kind of go from there, see what happens. You know, they're 3 under par and 4 off the pace, but in this golf course, again, so hard to get separation, only 4 back with 36 holes left. Like, you can go as far down this leaderboard almost as you like and find guys that can still get this thing done. It's going to be real interesting to see, and still plenty of guys in that top 5, including those two, and then Rahm at 6, Thomas at 7, you know, guys that control their own fate, so to speak, where if they win the Tour Championship, they win the whole thing.
It's interesting when you talk about, I'm going out early with Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth, you know, like the top 2 ranked players in the world. Well, you know, but in this field, there's like everyone's a star. Everyone's a big shot. There's big names everywhere. It's only 30 guys. So obviously it's quite the star-studded field. Justin Thomas, Paul Casey, Webb Simpson, all at 7 under par, share the lead. Interesting to note that Justin Thomas, I was looking at his stats. His strokes gained is negative. Like, he's negative 0.046, and yet he is still tied for the lead. So that tells you just how good he is ball striking-wise this week. I think that's absolutely stunning number to talk about. And if you, I mean, this guy, to me, is in the driver's seat right now, if you look down that list. And I know there are some good players, as we talked about. But to me, if he gets his putter warmed up a little bit, he should be able to kind of create some distance going into tomorrow, don't you think?
Completely, Bob. And I say the key to Eastlake is keeping the ball in the fairway. And he's number 1 strokes gained off the tee. He's number 2 in driving accuracy. If you look at the guys that started to lose shots late yesterday, which was Casey, Simpson, Jason Day, these guys were headed towards minus 9, minus 10, and they started missing fairways at 12, 13, 14, and started losing shots. That's the simple formula to Eastlake Golf Club. It's straightforward. It's in your face, but if you keep it in the fairway, you can play well. And I think that's the difference. I think you hit the nail on the head. This is not, you're not going to, it's not necessarily a Jordan Spieth golf course, you know, where you can strokes gain putting your way to the title. Now, I'm not saying Jordan can't win. Jordan's good enough to win everywhere. But you're right. Justin Thomas, the ball striking, if he keeps that up, he's going to be hard to beat over the next 36 holes. Again, I know there's lots of guys in the hunt. There's lots of guys playing well. But if you don't keep it in the fairway on the weekend, you're not going to win this golf tournament. That is just hands down. You are not going to be able to, you know, scramble your way to victory around here. The, you know, the other guy who's striking it very well is watch out for John Rahm. You know, he's number one in greens in regulation, and he's right up there in strokes gained off the tee. He's pretty close. He, you know, so he's hitting it well too. He's going to have to hit more fairways. He's not hitting as many fairways as JT, but if he can find just a couple more fairways, it might come down to those two.
It's and speaking of fairways, man, like Webb Simpson wasn't just missing them. He was like in the trees and coming down the stretch. I flipped it on and there he is, like hitting shots out of I think two or three holes in a row where he was like deep in where the bears are, and hacking him out of there and still recovering. And I think it's an interesting guy. You know, this is a guy who learned to play using the long putter and has taken a little while to kind of get back to where he can be competitive, making it to the Tour Championship, obviously, but with the regular length putter. He was still impressive in being able to hold it together, didn't you think?
Yeah, and you know, that's funny, Bob, because, you know, you would think Webb Simpson is the guy that if he's going to be 7 under par tied at the top of the leaderboard through 36, that he's going to be doing it with his ball striking, because
right.
We know he's been fighting the putter, as you mentioned, since the transition. But the putter is what's been keeping him in this right now. You know, I think he's in top 10. I think he's either 8th or 9th off the top of my head in strokes gained putting right now as we head into the weekend. And, you know, obviously not leading the field, but when he's in the top third, let's say, or top 25% of the field in putting for the week, that's jaw-dropping because he's never there anymore. So, you know, that's been the real difference. And you're right. He was hitting it all over the ballpark, and it was on the same stretch of holes as Jason Day and Paul Casey were hitting it all over the ballpark. There's this part of this golf course of holes 12, 13, and 14. They don't get a lot of talk. They don't get a lot of hype because they're not, you know, signature holes for TV. They don't look like that beautiful peninsula par 3 green 15th that everybody recognizes, or 18, that gettable par 5 with the water hazard that dissects the middle of the fairway. So, you know, they're not fancy-looking holes. They're just straightforward, really difficult par 4s with lots of undulation. You don't get a lot of flat lies in the fairway. The angles are weird. And that's where all those guys were hitting it all over the ballpark yesterday. It cost Webb Simpson a double on the 13th hole.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know, here's the beginning of the end. But he regrouped and rallied and got it in the clubhouse and played quite well. But you're right, Bob, it's the putter, and who would have guessed that?
Yeah. 6 under par, one shot back. The aforementioned John Rahm, Gary Woodland, Justin Rose, and Patrick Reed. And boy, if I'm Steve Stricker, I am over the moon at seeing Patrick Reed sitting there at 6 under and in the hunt for this. Anyone in that group strike you as a decent threat? I mean, they all do, I'm
well,
sure.
I've been leaning on Rahm the whole playoffs, thinking this is the guy that's going to sneak up and spoil the party for everybody, that it's going to be John Rahm, and I still feel that could be the way. Justin Rose, it's all going to come down to the putter. He spent so much time on the putting green before his round yesterday. I barely saw him warm up at the range. He was grinding with the putter all morning. And, you know, paid off yesterday. He putted well, 4 under par yesterday in his round. Missed one early on the first hole. He had 9 feet to birdie his first hole. And it didn't even touch the cup. And I said to myself, well, there goes that. He ain't going to have the confidence. But I was wrong. He ended up making a 5-footer on the next hole for birdie. And he kind of went from there. So if he can keep the putter going, look out for Justin Rose. But it'll come down to him. But those are the two guys in that six group that I would look at. I'm looking at.
His stroke, Justin Rose's putting stroke, has always, for the last year, has been really hampered by that gold medal that he refuses to take off. It just gets in the way when he's stroking the putt. Our boy Adam Hadwin is back at tied for 18th. He moved up 3 spots yesterday. He shot 67. Interesting, on Thursday morning, he was talking with Todd Lewis from Golf Channel, and he basically said, you know, he doesn't think he had a chance to win it. He's really more focused on next week for the President's Cup, which I knew was a huge achievement for him, rather than this week. And I thought that was an interesting comment, and Todd actually thought it was a very interesting comment as well. I mean, there's $30 million in bonus money up for grabs, and Adam sort of said there's just too many things and too many players that have to kind of fall out and fall down and you know, he's got, you know, like I think just Jordan Spieth had to finish tied for 13th or worse or something like that for him to win, with all these permutations. So I don't know, have you had a chance to chat with him or watch him play at all this week?
Yeah, I just had a chance to say hi. You know, came over, just gave him some knuckles and said, play well, as he was walking from the second green of the third tee. And I saw him play number two, basically. That's really been the extent of it. I kind of thought, Bob, that this would free him up this week. Like, he's, in my opinion, Adam Hadwin right now is playing with house money. You know, he had two major goals come through the summer: make it to the Tour Championship, make it to the President's Cup. And as of a few weeks ago, when we had headed out of the Northern Trust, you know, we knew that both of those things were accomplished. So I really thought he would play well. Now, it's not that he hasn't played well. He's 200 par five off the lead. So, you know, he goes out today and shoots 65. Well, you know, he's right there. That's this golf course. It's not going to get away from him. So he's only one good round away from threatening to win this golf tournament. Now, you can say that about anybody in the top 20. So I'm surprised that he's still looking, though, that far forward. I thought, you know, maybe he'd be more excited to be here. But I think some players are different. You know, they're different cats. Some guys say, hey, I go play well, I play well, and the math takes care of itself. I think if you start focusing on what Adam was talking about and outlining all the mathematical possibilities and this and that, I think you'll go crazy and sometimes get deflated because, you know, it is hard to keep up with.
I heard Paul Casey talking about that afterwards. You know, he's in the same kind of situation where he's got he's coming in here at 10th spot, so he needs some help from some of the other guys who are ahead of him if he wants to win the $10 million prize. And he said the same thing, basically. You're going to go crazy if you try to look at the numbers. And he said, but, you know, every scoreboard you got, they've got the projected finish on there. So it's kind of staring you in the face, basically, every time you turn around. So I can understand that it can be at times difficult to sort of put the end result or the end possibilities away and just focus on your golf game.
But it's funny, Bob. I had a chance to speak. I brought Casey home for his last nine holes, and I spoke to him afterwards, and I asked him, you know, what is it about this time of year that makes him play so well? And he looked at me and just gave me a wink. He said, well, there's millions of reasons, but I can't get into that right now.
So. Paul Casey is forever in my book known as the guy who threw a ball to a 148-yard par 3 at Banff Springs one time when we were back in the days when we were doing the Skins game. He's a lovely guy, and I know you're going to have him in your Winners, Weird, and What, so I'm not going to spoil that for our listeners here when we come back. Speaking of coming back, we are going to come back after this. We're going to go through some leaderboards around the world. There's lots more golf going on than just the Tour Championship, and we'll catch up and maybe even talk a little bit more about Mackenzie Hughes and some of the other Canadians and as they wrapped up their year last week. There's more Golf Talk Canada ahead after this.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in studio, Zucchino at East Lake for the Tour Championship. And Mark, believe it or not, there's lots of golf going on other than where you are right now. I know,
yes,
you find that hard to believe.
I know, but big golf on web.com especially, that's shaping the future of next year. So
yeah, so let's deal with that one first. And the DAP Championship is the name of the event. And right now, Max Atkins is leading. He's an American player, 8 under par. Carlos Ortiz, Nicholas Lindholm, are at 7 under. Ryan Armour, Brett Stigmeier, Sean Stefani are all at 6 under. Chesson Hadley, 5 under. Andrew Putnam, 5 under. Brew Druitt, 5 under. Joel Dahman, 5 under. Luke Guthrie, 5 under. There's a whole bunch of people. But if you go to tied for 12th, not far off there is Corey Connors and Roger Sloan. And it's been a big week for Roger Sloan. It's been a big month for Roger Sloan, really, but a really big week for Roger Sloan this week, because on Tuesday, he and his wife gave birth to their first child, a little girl. and happy and healthy, and down in Houston, where they have recovered from the hurricane, I guess, and everything seems to be going well. He managed to fly back and make it here for the tournament. So nice to see two Canadian guys in the hunt to try and put themselves into the getting for a PGA Tour card for next year.
Yeah, and both currently projected, Sloan and Connors projected inside that top 50 right now, inside the top 35. Of course, top 25 is ideal, Bob, because they got the better status when they come into the tour and it'd be easier to get starts. The top 50 get that card. So, and of course, Silverman also projected to be inside that top 50 as well. So, again, lots of Canadian talent coming off the web.com tour.
Yeah, Adam Svensson, who is in the hunt as well inside that number, is he missed the cut this week. But, of course, there's still more. David Hearn also missed the cut this week. Not something we wanted to see out there. European Tour, they are playing the Portugal Masters at the Dom Pedro. I thought it was maybe the Dom Perignon, but it's Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course. Mark Warren is leading that tournament at 13 under par over Nino Bertazio. It's one of your boys, Mark. And one of my favorite golfers, one of our favorite golfers here on Golf Talk Canada, is just two shots back, Nacho Elvira. That sounds like a wrestler, don't you think?
I actually had the Nacho Elvira last night, and it's not sitting well.
Okay.
Is anyone in this field, is anyone on the European Tour right now, Bob? I think the European Tour is almost like an afterthought until after this weekend, and then everybody, of course, switches gears. If you're a European Tour player, the race to Dubai will really kick in after the FedEx Cup has been put behind us.
That's right there. And Jon Rahm, of course, is the one guy who's got a chance to win both, as Rory did a number of years ago. Shane Lowry, by the way, is just two shots back. And Nicholas Kolsarts, the big Belgian, is in the hunt. So a couple of names there that people will recognize. Joost Luton is in there as well. The Champions Tour is playing out in Pebble Beach, and they have a cool event where they're paired up with first tee players, young players. But how about this? You know, if all I had to say was who are the top two players on the Champions Tour this year, Mark, who would you say?
McCarron and Longer, and there they are again. We're having another duel of anchored putters on the Champions Tour.
I was waiting to see how long it would take you to mention anchored putters. Scott McCarron leads at 8 under par. Bernhard Langer is one back at 7 under par. Kevin Sutherland, my doppelganger, said some people, he's 5 under. And Stephen Ames, top Canadian so far through just the first round. He is tied for 26th, and down a little bit further at 57th is Rod Spittle. But it is interesting, and those two guys are 1 and 2 in the Charles Schwab Cup race, and there they are battling on the top of the leaderboard. It's been quite a year for both those players.
Yeah, it certainly has. I think they've combined for 8 wins in the season, and Longer especially just amazes me considering his age. You know, 60 years old and beating up on the 50s and 51-year-olds that are supposed to dominate this tour when they first get off the regular tour. And man, Longer, he's something else. He's figured out this Father Time thing, and he's winning. And I don't know if you've seen any of the images, Bob, this week from Pebble Beach, but I have never seen Pebble Beach really with no wind and perfect sunshine. It's usually cloud and rain or sun and wind, and it looks perfect out at Pebble Beach. So apparently the time to visit Pebble is late September.
Yeah, well, if you look at if you follow Stephen Ames on Instagram, just look at the pictures that he's been posting, because, man, they are pretty spectacular. There was actually an interesting post on his Instagram this week, by the way. He proposed to his girlfriend, so they're going to get married. Sounds like it. Well, I guess they're going to get married. They're going to get engaged anyway. There's a difference.
Starting somewhere.
There's a difference. There's a difference. Back to the Tour Championship. I wanted to look at the other end of the and just quickly to wrap up here in this segment, to look at the other end of the leaderboard, because I think we were talking about how Steve Stricker's got to be happy that Patrick Reed is playing so well heading into the President's Cup. But if you look at the other end, there's some red flags, I think, especially none perhaps bigger than Hideki Matsuyama, who there was some talk that he might be injured this week, but his manager said, no, he's just tired. But he started off with a 75, and he has not looked good. Kevin Chappell, Ricky Fowler, by the way, are 29th and 30th right now on the list. So there's a little bit of maybe a red flag for Steve Stricker as well. But interesting to look at some of these guys as we head into that President's Cup.
I hear you, Bob, because you got Charlie Hoffman, a captain's pick, at +6 on the U.S. side, and Fowler at +7 on the U.S. side. you know, that international side, and Johnny Vegas is plus six, Leishman plus two, and Matsuyama, to me, like you said, the big flag at three. Leishman, I think it's just a bit of a hangover from last week. I think Mark Leishman's going to be fine come President's Cup time. I'm worried about Matsuyama. Thank God for them that Jason Day has seemed to have found some form, because Adam Scott obviously hasn't played any golf at all. They really thought Matsuyama was going to be the leader next week for that international team, and the way it's looking right now, man, the putter has truly abandoned completely Matsuyama. And you're right, they thought he was injured, but apparently he's exhausted. So I don't know. I always thought it was going to be a wax. I think the Americans are going to wax him. I've been saying it for the last 6 months. I think it's over before it starts next week, Bob.
If it's if it was a fight, they probably wouldn't start it. They wouldn't allow it to start. But we'll see what happens. You still gotta hit the ball, golf ball, and you still gotta put him in the hole. And stranger things have happened, as we know, in these events. All right, Mark, we're gonna give you a chance to go and powder your nose here for a minute. You're gonna give the next segment off in studio. Todd Kjerstad, we're going to talk a little of the perhaps the biggest event that's going on in Toronto this weekend, an amazing event, and it's going to include some golf. It's the Invictus Games. That's coming up when we return on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. It is the first edition in the fall, although it feels like summer out there. It feels smoking hot, heat warning in effect. So if you are going out to play golf today, make sure you take lots of water, put the sunscreen on, wear a hat, do all those things, wear shorts. There's also a big event going on here in Toronto that's getting underway today, kind of last night, I guess, got underway, and it is the Invictus Games, and I found this great poem by William, it's one of my favorite poems, actually, William Ernest Henley, called Invictus, the final stanza of which reads, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul," and that speaks to a lot of the competitors that we have who will be here, and a guy who's going to be instrumental in, and has been instrumental in, adding golf to the program, because this is sort of the Olympics to speak of for the Wounded Warriors. Todd Kjerstad joins me here in studio, and Todd, welcome to the show. And this is a huge week, right?
This is exciting times right now. It really is. For our ill and injured soldiers, we have 17 countries coming in. There's 550 athletes. Over 1,500 volunteers. They had to close the portal off at 1,500. There was well over 3,000 people that wanted to volunteer for these games, and they closed it off at 1,500. And it's the city is just alive right now for Invictus.
So I know you just kind of made the point there, but just to clarify, just give us an idea. These are wounded warriors. These are soldiers who've been injured or are ill or have some disability or whatever, and they are now competing in various athletic events, correct?
Exactly. It's kind of like the Olympics for our ill and injured, wounded warriors, soldiers. There's, for golf specifically, we have 40 athletes from Canada, Australia, Denmark, Spain, New Zealand, UK, Italy, and, of course, the United States. So it's a world event. It really is.
This is amazing. So golf is the first time now in the Invictus Games, and boy, they pulled out all the stops. You're playing at St. George's Golf Club. I mean, this is quite a course.
You know what? It was amazing. When they approached St. George's, the membership was on board 100%. And they were like, what can we do to help out? And they've been incredible. The golf course, the membership there, to close the golf course really down for 2 days, it's quite a feat.
Okay, so what's going to happen out there? You're going to have practice rounds tomorrow. Give me the rundown of what's happening in the golf competition.
So tomorrow we're going to have a practice round in the morning. Then there's going to be a clinic for sponsorship for the athletes, for the public. It's open to the public. Tuesday, it's actually going to be the game day event. And we might have a few celebrities coming in for the closing award ceremony in the afternoon.
That's interesting. You're just going to tease us with that one, are you?
Exactly. Well, there's a little bit of royalty in the city.
I gotcha. Yeah. That sounds good. So this St. George's isn't the Royal St. George's, but it might be on Tuesday.
It will be on Tuesday, that's
okay,
for sure.
That's pretty cool. Give me an idea of some of the people who are competing, the athletes, not specifically who they are, but what they're dealing with, where they've come from. I know you've seen a lot of these guys, not only this week, but you work with these kind of these golfers and trying to get people back in the games. Give me an idea of what they're all about.
So we're going to be seeing a lot of individuals that suffer from PTSD. There's going to be able-bodied people, but also people that with prosthetic legs. There's going to be individuals who have lost their sight, who are in a wheelchair situation. It's a whole wealth of ability that's going to be there on Monday and Tuesday.
Now, I know you work with these people week in, week out. You do just a tremendous job with some of the stuff. I know you were down. You said you were at the base in Trenton
yesterday
giving a clinic and stuff. But is golf... Golf is a great way to kind of get these guys back in action, isn't it?
It really is. Like, golf is more... what I try to relate to them is golf is an excuse to get out for 5 hours with your friends, which is what we all do. But to play in an adaptive way, we really have to change the mindset of the individual, because the first thing I tell them is maybe you can't play the game of golf the way that you used to before you suffered your situation in the battlefield, but I'm going to show you, and we're going to work on an adaptive way to play. So it's working with the individuals, it's working with their playing partners, because sometimes they have to have help on the golf course, but it's also working with the golf course too to allow them the opportunity to play golf in an adaptive way.
Any great success stories are you're proud of? And
oh my god,
share?
You know,
there's
what?
Probably too
I could
many,
go
right?
on and on and on, but I'm talking individuals who've never thought they could ever play the game of golf again due to multiple amputees. And getting them just back on the golf course. And sometimes golf to them is hitting 10 shots out of a full 5 hour or 18 hole golf, but it's maybe hitting 10 shots, but it's them, it's the experience of being with their friends and being outside in a non-threatening environment, especially for some of the guys that suffer from the PTSD.
So how is the competition gonna play out?
So it's a Stableford system. So we're gonna be basing it on a point system, and the higher the points, the better the score is. So,
right.
But the good thing about that is if an individual gets over double bogey, they can just pick the ball up and proceed, because they're not going to gain any more points. But the, if you make a birdie, it's the higher the points, the better. So it's a different format. I know the PGA Tour players play it once a year.
That's right.
But it's a little bit different than what most people are playing golf on an everyday basis, but it's a great way to play it for these individuals.
I know our pal Jim Clark, who is one of Golf Canada's primo volunteers. He was the volunteer chairman for the RBC Canadian Open this year. He's undertaken, he did it actually, the Pan Am Games, he was the chairman. Now he's helping to run this. You said there's a whole bunch of volunteers for the whole games. The volunteer structure for the golf is the same?
Yeah, well, Jim's been absolutely amazing. And also we have the guys from Golf Ontario. They're going to be marking the golf course tomorrow. The guys have been, Jim and Golf Ontario is really what's making this happen. They've been phenomenal in the preparation for these games.
How excited are you about this? This is like your dream come true to see this happening.
I'm
here
in heaven right now in my own backyard, because this is what I do for a living, bringing individuals back to the game of golf, and now having a worldwide platform on adaptive golf. It's really going to kickstart the program and really blow it up. It's going to be amazing.
And the whole Invictus Games, I know, are you going to get a chance to sort of do a little bit more wandering around and seeing some of the other events?
I'm going to try my best, but my schedule is pretty booked, but I am going to be trying my best to get out to a few more events, because there's great events happening all over the city.
Todd Kierstead is also one of the greatest performers himself. He puts on a great show. I'm assuming that's what you're going to be doing with this clinic, as you said.
We're going to be doing a little bit of an adaptive, a little bit of a fun entertainment clinic for the individuals, just to give them a little bit of a break, add some humor to the event on Monday afternoon. And as I said, both days are open to the public, free of charge. Just make your way down to St. George's and enjoy some adaptive golf, but maybe golf the way that you've never seen it played, but on a world platform.
This is a pretty good opportunity just to see the golf course, let alone to see it under these circumstances and with these competitors, and also to see you perform. If you have never seen Todd put on his show, it's really worth coming down to have a look at it. And listen, congratulations. This is an amazing event, the Invictus Games. right across the city this week. As you said, the city is just exploding with it. I don't think I understood how big it was going to be and how involved the whole city was going to be. But man, it's wonderful to see.
Oh, we got Prince Harry here. We're going to have Bruce Springsteen. We got Bryan Adams. It's just the royalty of everything.
Royalty of rock, royalty of the monarchy. We've got royalty of everywhere, right?
You got it.
Listen, thank you for coming in. Have a great day. Before we go, you're off. Tell me where you're going off to right now.
We're going to the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer to see if we can raise some money, more money for the Princess Margaret Hospital. Great. Another huge event that's happening in Toronto. It's just unbelievable.
Are you playing?
I'm not, but I'm going to be going out there visiting some friends and saying hi and helping, as I said, raise a little bit more
money. There's like thousands of teams or hundreds of teams playing in this thing, or thousands of players probably.
The Woodbine Racetrack, the whole parking lot is just going to be ball hockey.
Well, boy, make sure you bring some water with that one. If you're playing hockey today, it's going to be warm out there. Listen, thank you for coming by. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on what you've done and what you're doing in the next couple of days, and good luck to all the competitors out there.
It's going to be awesome. Thanks for having me on.
All right. When we come back for more of Golf Talk Canada, we're going to talk a little bit about winners. We're going to do our winners, weird, and what. We're also going to talk about a few Canadian golfers who've had a great year. We'll catch up with a little bit on Mackenzie Hughes. We'll tell you about Roger Sloan. We'll tell you about Mark Sacchino is going to give us a breakdown of what's going to happen with the big WWE match tomorrow night, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman. He doesn't know that yet, but I'm going to spring that one on him when we come back. There's more ahead on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. We're wrapping up our edition today, and hopefully you're heading out to the golf course. Remember, it's smoking hot. You probably already know that if you walked outside today at any point. It is going to be a warm one out there, but it's also going to be a beautiful day out there. Mark Sacchino is in Eastlake for the Tour Championship, where it's also going to be a very nice day. But Mark, we are going to do Winners, Weird, and What. Are you okay with that?
I'm good to go, Bob.
You have the tee.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Bob, my winner this week is the competition committee of the Tour Championship that last year flipped the nines at Eastlake. And when they first flipped the nines, I kind of went, you know what? I know the course ends on a par three, but it was kind of iconic. And it was a way of something that was recognizable to Eastlake, that it was a rarity to finish on a difficult uphill par three. But you know what? They made the right call. The volatility now on this 18th hole, you can see sevens, you can see eagles, the par five finish, it's brilliant. We already saw it yesterday with Justin Thomas closing with an eagle. We saw it last year with Rory McIlroy having to finish off strong the last three holes to force the playoff. It was the right decision. It's my winner. It will come into play Sunday, hands down. My weird this week, okay, Paul Casey, here he is, again, tied for the lead at 7-under par. How has this guy not won? He has the most top fives on the PGA Tour in the last three seasons without a victory. His record at Eastlake alone should have been good enough to squeeze out a victory at some point over the last couple seasons. Yet here we are again with another chance. He still hasn't won. The only thing I can come up with, Bob, is he hasn't won because you and I have both been predicting it for 3 years. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the reason.
And my what is, and this is something you touched on early in the show, you know, Tiger's report, his update, which was a lengthy update on his website, maybe some of it trying to steer some deflection away from him being back in the spotlight next week at the President's Cup. But are we finally at the point where Tiger's image, behavior, decisions is really starting to affect the decline in his stature in the golf community and finally truly starting to tarnish him. Now, I know some people will say that's already happened, but you know what? He went from a $120 million athlete a year to a $60 million athlete a year, and he was still had tons of pull. He still stirred the drink, and people still lined up to be attached to him. Quicken Loans signed a deal to be at Congressional and the National every other year for the tournament in Washington. Genesis lined up in L.A. where his foundation's part of that tournament at Riviera. Yet all of a sudden, in the last week or so, we've seen Quicken Loans pull away from the tournament in Washington. We've seen Congressional pull away from the tournament in Washington. And maybe some of this behavior and some of these decisions are finally starting to come around. And I hope he can gain it back. I hope he can get his reputation back. But for the first time, I'm starting to feel like there's a big crack in the dam, Bob.
He's down to $60 million. We may have to have a GoFundMe campaign for him to make sure he doesn't starve. All right. Thank you, Mark. I have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, my winner this week is Stuart Sink, who was named as and accepted the Payne Stewart Award, which is an award that's given to a player whose values align with the character, charity, and sportsmanship that Payne Stewart showed. And he's just a wonderful guy. I'm not sure how much time you've had to spend with Stu Sink, but he is always nice, always friendly, always obliging. In fact, I remember one interview I had to do with him in 2010, because he is a huge hockey fan, and I had to ask him a series of questions about the Atlanta Thrashers moving to Winnipeg. I did about a 10-minute interview with him. We never talked one thing about golf, and he laughed about that afterwards. He said, "Are you going to talk about golf?" I said, "Nope." It's like, okay. His son was quite a player, actually. He told me one time he came up to Toronto to play in a hockey tournament, and he said, "Boy, you guys are pretty competitive up here." He says, "Even the parents really go after it." Apparently, he got into a little bit of a run-in with some of the parents here at a hockey tournament, but just a wonderful guy. I can't say enough about Stuart Sink.
He's a great guy. I've had a chance to just interview him a couple times when he's been leading, but you're right. There's not many friendlier guys than Stuart Sink.
No, that's right. My weird this week is a study that came out of the University of Edinburgh. And this is an interesting study. It actually says that going to watch a golf tournament can be good for your health. How about that? I think that's something that you do. But they studied, this Bill is the first to assess the physical activity of tournament spectators, found that nearly 83% of people who go to a golf tournament exceeded their daily step counts, taking an average of 11,589 steps over a day spent watching on-course action. So walking is one of the best things you can do for your health, adding years to your life and increasing your health and happiness, said Dr. Andrew Murray, who was the head guy on this study. So it doesn't count, though, if you are just sitting on your couch. Unfortunately, you actually have to go to the tournament. And
well,
I think
I feel like crap, Bob. Okay?
Yeah, I think if there's 11,589 steps going for a spectator, I think you, Mark, as a broadcaster out there, probably take, I don't know, four or five times that many. So you are my fitness idol right now. I just wanted to share that with you.
That only happens about three times, Bob, because the rest of the time you're blow the rest of us out of the water.
Yeah. Okay, and then my what this week is, what's it going to take? This is the one about the weather. What's it going to take for the PGA Tour to allow the players to wear shorts? This week, Jay Monahan came out and said that there is no, right now there's nothing in the works that would allow the PGA Tour players to wear shorts even in practice rounds, like they are on the European Tour. The PGA Championship has allowed them to wear shorts on practice rounds. But not for the PGA Tour, he says, no way. And when you get hot, hot days like you have out there and like we have here, I think shorts would be a good change of pace. And I don't think it takes away from it. Everyone wears shorts when they're at their golf course now anyway, so why not let the players do it? And you can look pretty athletic, I think, if you're wearing shorts too, as long as you get those legs tanned up a little bit.
It's ridiculous, Bob. It is one of the things that drives me nuts. There's so many stupid rules and archaic rules in the game of golf that the governing bodies are starting to address. It's time for the tour to address this. This is now a sport. These guys are athletes. Do you see the way they look? Jason Day, are you kidding me? This guy could play any sport he wants. Dustin Johnson. These guys are athletes. And if it's an athletic endeavor and it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit down here with the Humidex, why aren't these guys wearing shorts? It makes no sense at all. Stupid tradition that should have been dumped years ago. I can walk into a 5-star golf course anywhere in the world with a pair of nice tailored walking shorts, but the best players in the world can't wear them when they're competing at the highest level. Wake up.
You know, it's I would rather see guys wear shorts than some of those joggers that they're wearing out there now anyway. Okay, we've only got a couple minutes left, but I wanted to make sure I got this in, and I need a prediction from you, Mark. I need a prediction. I want you to tell me what is going to happen on Sunday night, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman in the Universal Championship, the WWE, because this is a big one. This is a big one. Lesnar and Strowman, I mean, they have a battle, right?
Yeah, you know, two big boys here, Bob. So I don't know. I got to think that, well, you know, the way they've been building this thing up, Strowman looks unbeatable. So that means it's going the other way. Lesnar walks out with the title, Bob. That's how this goes.
The monster among men, Braun Strowman. Yeah. There you hear it, right there. Mark Zucchino has come in with his picks. Listen, have a wonderful day out on the golf course today. Give me a quick before we run. Who's going to win this tournament?
I think it'll come down to JT and Rom because it's going to come down to ball striking. So why doesn't JT just end the conversation at all? I gave him Player of the Year last week on TV, and I think he ices it. So I will see you in New York, Robert, at the President's Cup in a few days.
President's Cup next week. We will both be there. Golf Talk Canada Television will be on site at the President's Cup in Bedminster. We're not sure if we have. We're trying to arrange an interview with the course owner. I think his name is Trump. We'll see how we do with that. But we will be there for Golf Talk Canada, and also next week we'll have a little bit from obviously lots all President's Cup next week on Golf Talk Canada Radio. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hit it long and straight today.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.